Srila Prabhupada came, so we continue with our samana, sweet love for Krishna. And the first day we spoke about, we gave examples of ecstatic love of Krishna, of the gopis, Mother Yasoda, Nanda Maharaj, and Uddhav, that Akura, Uddhav, was Uddhav, yeah. That, and then we discussed symptoms of conditioned souls. Do you remember one of the symptoms? Someone remembers? Forgetfulness of Krishna. That, yeah. And I in mind. Yes, that's what they do also. But then there is... But why are they suffering? Because they are attached to the fruits of their activities. Want to enjoy. Enjoying causes suffering. We learn from the Shastra. And then symptoms from liberated souls. What were one of the symptoms of a liberated soul? Always absorbing, hearing about Krishna. That something else they do. They don't identify with the body. Detached in everything they do. That, yes. And then we discussed how to go from the conditioned state to the liberated state. And we first discussed things not to do. Can you remember something you should not do? Vaishnaparat. Yeah, that we should not do for sure. Yeah. Yeah, not desiring to merge in Brahman. That, that's certainly not, yeah. Yeah, right. Yeah. Yeah, the point was by SSI you get rid of LIF. Everyone understood, right? Yeah. What is SSI? What does it mean? Yes, submission, service, inquiry, yes. And then you get rid of LIF, what's LIF? Illusion and fear, lamentation, illusion. That's in the Bhagavatam, the second chapter of the first canto. Sukadeva Goswami says that. In a verse, that by hearing about Krishna, we become free from lamentation, illusion, and fear. That's the second chapter of the first canto. You can check. I don't know the exact verse. There are not so many verses. That yes. So this. Things not to do and things to do. What things should we do to go to the liberated platform? We discussed a few. Associate with the word is a very important thing. It's good to have that, yeah. That here in Krishna Katha, discuss Krishna Katha, we finished with that. That we spoke also about Lord Shiva and Daksha. What was this about? What with? That's another one. No? But what did Daksha do that he should not have done? Find fault with others. Instead, we should glorify devotees we discussed. You glorify devotees. If you see the spiritual qualities in someone, you develop them in the heart. If you see faults in someone's heart, and you develop these faults. And then pray for the association of devotees. Yes. That good thing. Yeah. That's the idea. Good. Gopi Bhakta, Kamala, Dasa, Dasana, Das. That's what Lord Chaitanya said. So we should become the servant of the servant of the servant of the lover of the gopis. That one he said. We have a few points more to do. That point six. Just for your remembrance, this seminar is based on the Bhagavatarka Marichimala, means a garland on verses of the Bhagavatam, a book written by Srila Bhaktivinoda Thakur, and this has 20 chapters. In every chapter has a theme, and every theme he quotes only verses from the Bhagavatam, nothing more it's in the book. That, so, in the sections about themes which were related about things to do, he says we should follow the Mahajans. 6.3.20 Yamaraj to his messengers. What's the name of the messengers of Yamaraj? Yamaduta. Duta means man's messenger. You have Hamsa. Yeah. You have Hamsa Duta. What does it mean? Yeah. The Hamsa means swan. The swan messenger. That, yeah. That was this. You have also the bee messenger. Srimad Radharani come absorbed and saw a bee and was thinking, it's a messenger of this unfaithful master, Krishna. Yeah, that, that's different here. Yamaraj to his messengers. Svayambhu Narabhasambhu Kumara Kapilo Manu Pralada Janako Bhishmo Bale Vyavasakirvayam. Lord Brahma, Bhagava Narada, Lord Shiva, the four Kumaras, Lord Kapila, the son of devotee, Svayambhuva Manu, Palat Maharaj, Janak Maharaj, grandfather Bhishma, Bali Maharaj, Shukadev Goswami, and I myself know the real religious principles. 12 Mahajans. It's good to hear what happened before. At 6.3.20. The first before. Tamam tu saksar bhagavat pranitam na vai venerisya na pudeva na sida mukhya asura manusya kuno vidyata rachra nadaya Real religious principles are enacted by the Supreme Personality of Godhead. All the fully situated in the modes of goodness, in the mode of goodness. Even the great rishis who occupy the topmost planet cannot ascertain the real religious principles, nor can the demigods or the leaders of Siddha Loka, to say nothing of the asuras, ordinary human beings, vidyadharas and charanas. What's the essence of the religious principles? That's the highest practice. That's right. That in Krishna says, Avasya Samriti Sanivista Mata Shmitra Namapamsa. That's, yeah. Sarvasya Samas Sanifista Mata Hyana Hapanamsa Vidasya Sarvarama Ivavitya Vidantakit Vidacham. That's Sarvas, yeah. What does that mean? Vidasya Sarvarama Ivavitya. By all the Vedas, I am to be known, Krishna. Knowing Krishna, that's the most highest religious principle. By all the Vedas, Krishna says, I am to be known. But in Bhagavad Gita, he complains of Krishna in Bhagavad Gita. Whole list of complaints. Lamenting. Name vidu suragana prabhavam namaharsaya aham adir edevanam marshinam sasarvasa. Neither the host of demigods nor the great sages know my original opulences, for in every respect I am the source of the demigods and the sages. He says the demigods and the sages don't know me. He complained before also. 7th chapter. 7. I think. Yeah, it's here. 7:14. No. 7:13. Tribigunarma erba ver ebisarvamidamchat moitam nabijanti mam ibya paramavyam. Deluded by the three modes, the whole world does not know me, who am above the modes and inexhaustible. Nobody knows Krishna. How can we know Krishna? Where does he say in Bhagavad Gita? Bhakti amam abhijanti avyasatma tatvatam. I can only know my bhakti in truth. But he says also, 11:54. Bhaktya pananyasakya am evam fudrayanam. Jnatam drastas tatvema praveshtansa parantapa. My dear Arjuna, only by undivided devotion and service can I be understood as I am, and I am standing before you, and can thus be seen directly. Only in this way you can enter into the mysteries of my understanding. Undivided devotion and service, ananya bhakti. Not ordinary bhakti, ananya bhakti. Srila Prabhupada translates as unalloyed. He got that when he arrived in Boston. He saw a factory, unalloyed steel factory. Unalloyed means not mixed with other metals, pure steel, pure, unalloyed. He used that word from there. But here it's at undivided, yes. So, how can we then start understanding Krishna? that Srila Prabhupada explains in the purport that for one who does not take personal training under the guidance of a bona fide spiritual master, it is impossible to even begin to understand Krishna. You need to be connected with a bona fide spiritual master. Bona fide spiritual master is one who follows the Mahajans. How many from these Mahajans are in our disciplic succession here? The first is Lord Brahma. Is he in our disciplic succession? Yes. The second is Narada. Is he in our disciplic? Yeah, okay. We are convinced, we are connected with the Mahajans. So we have to follow the Mahajans. So there is a 13th Mahajan. A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Srila Prabhupada. He also knew Krishna. That, good. That's clear. That's what I wrote. This is from commentary from the Chaitanya Charitamrita, Madhya Lilas, chapter 17, text 186. Accept Srila Prabhupada as your primary Siksha Guru, and following the footsteps of the Mahajans and Guru Parampara, Mahajano Yenakata Sapanta. Follow authority but not blindly. Blind following is condemned. There was this Guru, and he was traveling with his disciples. And the guru was sitting on a horse, and the disciples were walking behind. And there came a wind was blowing, and the head of the guru was blown from his head and fell on the ground. And none of the disciples took up the head of the guru. And the guru said to the disciples, "Why are you not taking my head?" How the disciples said, "You did not instruct us." The guru said, "Everything that falls from the horse, you should pick up." So they continued, and a little later, there was again a wind, and the head blew off, and the disciples took the head. At that moment, the horse started to pass stool, and they took the head and took all the stool in the head and gave it to the guru. So that's called blind following. Srila Prabhupada says blind following is condemned. We should use our intelligence. The next point, to go to the liberated platform. Anyway, that's... I heard the story in the Guru Parampara, up to them. I don't know what happened afterwards. That... point seven. That's not a difficult one for many. Be satisfied with whatever one achieves. That's interesting. We have to learn that. Give up our plans. So difficult for the false ego. Give up all my plans. I want to become a big devotee. I want to do this and that. All these plans. A devotee thinks, what would Krishna want me to do? What is his plan? Not so much what's my plan. Anyway, let's hear what Bhaktivinoda Thakur is teaching us here by selecting these verses from the Bhagavatam 4833. Yasya yateva vihitam satena sukha dukkhayam atmanam tosyam dehi tamasa paramrichyate. One should try to keep himself satisfied in any condition of life, whether distress or happiness, which is offered by the Supreme Will. A person who endures in this way is able to cross over the darkness of nations very easily, feeling satisfied in every situation. That Haridas Thakur was arrested by the king. And anyway, he went freely to the king, and they put him in prison. In prison, all the prisoners were informed a great saint comes, Haridas Thakur comes. And they were so happy. And when Haridas Thakur came into the prison, they made arrangement that they were immediately by the guards brought to the to them, and all the prisoners bowed down before Haridas Thakur and glorified him. And then Haridas Thakur gave them a blessing. He said, may you remain like you are now. All the prisoners, they became depressed. He was thinking, he wants us to remain in prison. But then Haridas Thakur, he clarified. He said, now you are here in prison. You are free from your family entanglement and your business and all these things. You are completely free from that. And now you think of Krishna. So remain like you are now. Think of Krishna. Then they understood. Now you have time to chant. You are free to chant. Anyway, the purpose of as a part of the purpose of this verse by Srila Prabhupada, when we enjoy in so-called material happiness, it is to be understood that we are diminishing the resultant actions of our pious activities. We are paying. And when we are put into suffering, it is understood that we are diminishing the resultant actions of our impious activities. Yes, good. That's better to suffer than to enjoy. Right? That's what it says. But we have to understand one thing. And that's in the Bhagavatam 1.5.18. Tasyeva hita pravate te kovido nalapyate yad brahmatam yuparyatam talapyate dukava anyato sukam kalena sarvatra gamiramasa. Persons who are actually intelligent could hear, am I intelligent? So here comes the truth. So the Goswami is telling us whether we are intelligent or not. Persons who are actually intelligent and philosophically inclined should endeavor only for that purposeful end which is not obtainable even by wandering from the topmost planet to the lowest planet. What is that? Yeah, right. Devotional service. Eternal life. Vaikuntha and Goloka Vrindavan, you can't get in this material universe. Not for sale. That should be our goal. Get back our eternal existence, awareness of who we are, not trying to become something in this world. As far as happiness derived from sense enjoyment is concerned, it can be obtained automatically in course of time. Just in course of time, we obtain miseries, even though we do not desire them. For every action, there is a reaction. Stop the wheel of action and reaction by Krishna consciousness. Interesting. When you are born, your happiness and distress in this world is already fixed. You cannot change. It's already fixed. The happiness and distress you will get. People think I'm going to become happy or I'm one. No. Whether you endeavor or not, it's already fixed. That's what you will get. Interesting. Yes. Endeavoring. One can think, oh, maybe I have a lot of good karma. It will be all good. My life will be as rose and Charanamrita. Some people may think like that. Then I have bad news for you. All those who have been born in Kali Yuga have a lot of bad karma. Otherwise, you don't take birth in Kali Yuga. It will not happen. A good idea. It will not happen. So, instead, to feel satisfied, the first thing you have to do, Prahlad Maharaj said, stop trying to become happy in this world, and then you will get peace. Stop trying. You get anyway what's predestined. You cannot avoid. People are busy with avoiding distress and getting as much as happiness. But it's predestined. Nothing you can do about it. Srila Prabhupada calls this the stringent laws of material nature. You cannot change. Most people don't have that information, that striving for happiness, for a body which we are not. That's called madness, really. Identifying with the body is mad. The only those who are sane in this world are devotees. Pure devotees who are not identifying with the body. Otherwise, it's all insanity. And people take it. I become so absorbed in this striving for happiness. It becomes a whole thing. And when it's not going to happen, I lost my soulmate. Why should I live? And they commit suicide. It's just the power of the mind, illusion. I'm so attached to this person. I'm so attached to my wife. I'm so attached to my family. But what's with your attachment, with your wife and your children in your previous life? Do you still care for them? No? It's quite unfair, right? You care now for this situation, but we went to millions of life like that. Every time creating attachment, and then suffer because the relationship breaks or this and that. It just if one has this transcendental knowledge, then one becomes peaceful. Nothing to worry about. If I worry about or not, the same thing will happen every time. You can worry, I'm going to die. It will happen anyway. So why worry? We are not this body. So devotional service means be satisfied what you do now. Be happy with what you do now. Don't care about all these attachments. Engage in service to Krishna, absorbed in that. Forget about it. Anyway, and that's going together with the next point. Because you cannot the previous thing, to do the previous thing if you don't remember the next point. 10.1.38. Mrityorjam navatam vira dehesa jayate adyavapta santateva prityurvai praninam dhruva. O great hero, one who takes birth is sure to die, for death is born with the body. One may die today or after 100 years. But death is sure for every living entity. So the life in the body is a spirit soul. That's the fuel in the body, in the machine, that makes the machine work. The body is dead. It appears to be life. What it makes alive is a spirit soul. Everything related to the body at the time of when we leave our body, we have to leave behind your bank balance. You have to leave behind. What do you take with you? Your sinful reactions. Yes, that. What do you leave here? All your plans you leave behind. That material life is building sand castles. And then the flood comes and shoo, everything gone. This is Mucha Kunta to Lord Krishna, chapter 51 from the 10th canto. The body at first rides on fierce elements or chariots adorned with gold and is known by the name king. And this body is later by your invincible power of time called faces, worms or ashes. That's very clear. How powerful is illusory energy? It's incredible. Okay. So we got a few important points today. We started with, we must follow the margins, be satisfied with whatever one achieves, remember always that your life is temporary, and point 9, forgive. We have to learn to forgive. 6.7.37 Iti Bhagavato Devya Pratisaptum alantama murtina sa shahi sa pam etavat sadhu lakshanam. The great devotee Chitraketa was so powerful that he was quite competent to curse Mother Parvati in retaliation. But instead of doing so, he very humbly accepted the curse and bowed his head before Lord Shiva and his wife. This is very much to be appreciated as a standard of behavior of a Vaishnava. Citraketu. Citraketu, that's an interesting story. Citraketu was a king. And he was quite a conditionless soul. If you go over all these symptoms of conditioned souls, some of them were certainly applicable to Citraketu. Conditioned souls, they try to fulfill material desires. If their material desires are not fulfilled, they become depressed. Depression. He was in a state of depression, Citraketu, because he could not get a son. For a king, it's important to get a son, because otherwise his dynasty stops. So he had to get a son. And then a great sage came by, Angira Muni. And when Angira Muni saw the state of consciousness of the king, he was thinking, this person is not ready to receive spiritual instructions. So he asked the king, tell me what's up, what's going on. He said, and he told, I have this problem, I have so many queens, but no son is coming. So, and Angira Muni said, I will help you. And he organized a fire sacrifice at Jagya, followed Vishnu, pouring ghee, or oblations of ghee in the fire Svaha. And then he offered sweet rice. And after the Jagya, he gave the prasad to Citraketu and said, you give that to one of your queens. And in due course of time, you will get a son. And the name of the son will be Harshasoka. And Angira Muni, by his mystic power, disappeared. Harshasoka. Harsha means jubilation, and Soka means lamentation. So he predicted a son with the name Harshasoka, who will bring great jubilation and great lamentation. So he took the sweet rice and gave it to his favorite queen. Her name was Katha Dyuti. And 1 year later, she gave birth to a son, Harshasoka. And there were great festivities. There were great festivities in the entire kingdom. Everyone was so happy. Great jubilation. Everyone was happy. Not really. Because Citraketu, he gave all his love to Katha Dyuti, his favorite queen. And he neglected all the others, and they felt very unhappy. And envious to Katha Dyuti. And envy became so serious that one of them decided to poison the son. And the son died. And there was great lamentation in the whole kingdom. And when Katha Dyuti heard that, she said, Providence is so cruel to let the son die before the father. And Citraketu could not take it. He fell down unconscious on the floor. And then Narada Muni appeared together with Angira Muni. And then the king regained consciousness, and Narada Muni told the king, why are you lamenting? for parenthood. Parenthood is very temporary. It did not exist before you had a son. It does not exist now. So why lamenting? And by his mystic power, he made the soul enter again into the body of the child. But he spoke directly to the spirit soul, and the spirit soul replied. He told the spirit soul, why did you leave so untimely? Can't you see what the misery you have caused for your parents? And the spirit soul replied, parents, I've got millions and millions of parents. Which parents do you mean? That was quite interesting. There were a few more answers and questions and answers. But then finally, the soul of the child left again, the body of the child, and the body felt that dawn. And by seeing, having that experience, Chitraketi woke up. He understood, I'm not a body. It's all useless, this bodily existence. And then he became a devotee. He started to worship Lord Balaram, performed devotional service, and he became a Vidyadhara. Vidyadhara is a kind of lower demigod. And in a Viman, spaceship, he was traveling all over the universe with beautiful Vidyadhara women. Sankirtan party, they were always chanting the glories of the Lord. They were traveling all over the universe. And one day they came at Kailash. And there, Kailash is the area, is a very beautiful area in the universe, part of the universe, where Lord Shiva lives under a banyan tree, many yojanas high, very high, the biggest banyan tree in the universe. And he was sitting under this tree. And so Chitraketi with his Sankirtan party arrives, and they are chanting the glories of the Lord. And there Chitraketi see Lord Shiva sitting, and he feels it. It's a very funny situation. With his right hand, he was instructing great sages who were sitting around him in the science of devotional service. So, Lord Shiva has two kind disciples. He's very merciful to the hobgoblins and the spirits and the ghosts, the lower creatures in ignorance. He takes care of them. But he has also very elevated Paramahamsa sages, which he instructs. So with right hand he was instructing them, but on his lap, at his left side, there Mother Parvati was sitting. And he was, with his other hand, he was embracing her. And Chitraketa was thinking that that's such a funny sight. And he started to laugh loudly. And Mother Parvati heard this. And she looked at Lord Shiva and said, this is offensive. And she cursed Chitraketa to become a demon in his next life. And when Chitraketa heard this, he said, he came down, he was smiling, and he said to Mother Parvati, with folded hands, thank you, I'm happy to accept your curse. So that's interesting. In Then, Mother Parvati looks to Lord Shiva and said, I curse him and he's not even disturbed. And then Lord Shiva speaks this verse. Narayana para sarve nakutachana bipyati svarya pavarka narakesh apitulyarta darshina. Devotee is solely engaged in the devotional service of the Supreme Personality of God at Narayan. Never fear any condition of life. For them, the heavenly planets, liberation, and the hellish planets are all the same. For such devotees are interested only in the service of the Lord. So for a devotee, whether he take birth again, he doesn't care about that. As long as he can continue his devotional service, that's the only thing what he wants. So, he forgave immediately Parvati. So, according to our karma, we get distress. We can say, I joined the temple. From now on, my life will be like nectar and charanamrita. Rose and charanamrita. Everything will be good now. But still, you have to get your karma. If you are only in association of devotees, who is going to bring you your karma? A devotee will be so kind to bring you your karma. So, if that happened, we should not be angry with that devotee. He brings you only your karma. If you become angry, because that karma is a suffering and punishment you deserve. So someone is put into prison because he did some criminal activity. And then the prisoner say, no, it's unfair, I don't want it. But he has done the stupid thing to deserve it. The same way, a devotee accepted that tena kampams maxima punjanya ifatma ketam vipakamri tvakva probir vidodana namaste chivetya mukti pade sadayabak. A devotee thinks Krishna is so kind, gives me only a little of the suffering that I deserve. I would deserve much more. And with that attitude, it's one's rightful claim for liberation, Muktipada. It says that. So that's how a devotee deals with suffering. Don't see the fault in the one who brings you the karma. He just brings it, like the postman brings you a tax bill. Are you angry with the postman to bring you the tax bill? No, the postman is also only the messenger. But if you think now it is injustice, this person should be punished, I will retaliate, there you go again. You create again karma. It's without end. But if you accept it, it is Krishna's mercy now I've paid. It's done. Then you get rid of it. Forgive. It's important. And that means we have to tolerate. First instruction of Bhagavad Gita. Krishna says, you are an eternal soul. You, Arjuna, all these kings and me will never stop to exist. You are eternal. Only one problem, you have a body that changes. And you have to tolerate. First instruction he gives. Matras parshita kanti ansi tushna shukha dukta ramapini nityastam sadiksha svavaharata. Yes. That forgive. If you don't forgive, you are cultivating an anatta in the heart. And that anatta is called aversion. You should learn not to do that. Good, I will stop here. I think we have one more session tomorrow to finish this seminar. And next week, I could give another one. I'm working on a new seminar. Because just before this class, I had a Skype class, and I presented a summary presentation of that seminar. And the new seminar for next week is Growing the Seed of Devotion. It's based on the instructions of Lord Chaitanya to Sanatana Goswami. And there the Lord instructs him how to plant the seed of devotion. How to cultivate the seed. Then how to make the creeper growing. And then how to become an expert gardener. Make sure that you remove the weeds, that they don't grow. And then this creeper grows into a big plant, grows to the whole universe by the watering of hearing and chanting, and goes to the whole Vaikuntha worlds up to Kaloka Vrindavan. And they take shelter at the lotus feet of Krishna. Love of Godhead. Four sessions. First session, we learn how to receive the seed and plant the seed. Then water the seed, that the seed grows. And then cultivate the creeper, third part. And fourth is how to become an expert gardener. Make fences against mad elephants or fences. A few more things we will learn for next week, if it's okay. So any question on what we discussed today? Is that first what I say doesn't matter. I'm a big fool. I'm only repeating the verse of the Bhagavatam. The Bhagavatam who says, not me. It should be clear. Yes, the thing is, in Nectar of Devotion we learn that by the performance of bhakti, that there are four kinds of karma. That the bicca, the gutta, the parapta and aparapta karma. That parapta means which is manifest. You can see you are suffering now, you get happiness now. That's manifest. Aparapta karma means it's not yet visible. But then you have karma which is in seed form and which is turns into kutta, a desire to do simple activities. Anyway, and that by that we create new karma. Example is given of a man. A man is a drunkard, intoxicated, and on Saturday evening He goes out and drinks the whole night. And the next day, he's very sick, he has a hangover. But the man thinks, yes, I'm sick now, but yesterday I had a good time. So when the sickness is over, then inclination to do it again is there. And the next day he's going to drink again, doing it. So the sickness in the morning, that's prarabdha karma, directly manifest. But if he continues drinking like that, his liver will be ruined. I will die from a liver disease. That's aparabdha karma. Now devotional service destroys all four stages, but it will destroy it when you come at the level of anartha nivritti, not before. Then it will start to destroy it. If destruction is complete, then you get on a position of liberation. But there's always prarabdha karma. Prarabdha karma is a karma that is running, that is manifesting. You cannot stop that, but it's, Srila Prabhupada says, it's like a fan connected with the electricity. You pull out a plug, it's still going for some time, but it will stop. So that's our situation. But there is something more subtle. I have to be aware of that. My experience is this signs of devotional service is a very subtle aspect. In the beginning we see only these gross aspects, but Krishna says a few more things, other things in Bhagavad Gita, which are very interesting. He says, Ananya Sintyantam Amirichana Payopashti Tesam Nityabhyuktam Yorakshenam Vamyam. He says, I protect all spiritual advancements my devotee has made. And I give him more and more opportunities to advance in devotional service. Interesting. What Krishna many times does is he uses our karma to make sure that we make devotional service, that we make spiritual advancement. May use it if we are too attached to something too frustrated. But that's not really karma in the sense. That's Krishna teaching us. Then the devotee is under the spiritual energy, internal energy, not the material energy. And that's very wonderful. But if you decide, no, I don't want to be a devotee, I give it up. Then Krishna says, okay, here's your karma back. He gives it. He does not destroy it, he keeps it and give it back. That's also something to consider. There are many subtle things. Do you think the Pandavas were suffering because of their karma? They were pure devotees. There was no karma involved. Bhishma Dev says to Yudhishthira Maharaj, oh, it's Krishna's plan. So we have to see. Learn to observe. Sometimes Krishna shows things to us, to things that happen around us, and we understand. You become more, in your consciousness, you become more accept for these all subtle things that happen, sometimes very wonderful. Anyway, thank you very much. Srila Prabhupada.